Today on World News Brief, America on the chopping block. Who knew that when Chaz was renamed to Chop that it would be a literal threat to those who do not join the revolution? They threatened us, so what is our response? Plus, Instagram becomes a conduit for baby sales in Iran, and the Wall Street Journal loves them some occupied territory talk. All this and more on this week's edition of World News Brief by CGM Radio. Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And welcome to this Friday, June 26, 2020 edition of World News Brief. I am your host, Winston R. Holland. Thank you so much for joining us today. I took a bit of a break last week from a regular news show. I was in California for about 5 days, and I was not around any of the insanity or protesting or anything of that nature. In fact, I was, if you heard last week's show, then you would know that I was visiting our new CGM radio host, Bob Siegel. We're doing some business stuff together, getting some things kind of set up for his show and that sort of thing while we were there. I interviewed him on the Holocaust Against Israel, which is a very, very good book that you'll want to pick up about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and really correcting a lot of revisionist history that we've seen on that conflict. So be sure to check out World News Brief, Episode 10. No news in that show, but it was an excellent show and really, I think, provides just a great foundation for some of the stuff we're going to be talking about today. We'll see kind of how it all weaves in. I don't have a show script. I've got some articles that I want to discuss and go through with you guys, including, as was alluded to in the intro, about CHOP. This is not a game. These guys are dangerous, they're violent, they threaten violence, and we're going to get to that video in just a moment, so stay tuned. Also, be sure to stay to the end of the broadcast. There is a must-listen-to, must-see Jordan Peterson video from 2017, in a sense predicting what happened with the George Floyd riots. He wasn't quite that specific. It wasn't prophetic, but he's a very smart guy, and looking at American culture, he could see that basically we're like a pile of wood that's been dried out for 2 years, and just the smallest of spark can create a huge bonfire. So you will not want to miss that. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at World News CGM, as well as Facebook. Email me questions, comments, criticisms, anything you'd like. Prayer requests, world@cgmradio.com. I would love to correspond with you. Also, make sure to go to cgmradio.com to check out all of our great programming content. I began the show with Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. Really, it was providence, I believe it was the Lord. I just so happened to read that this morning in my morning devotionals. You know, I wake up, and of course, it's Friday, so I'm thinking about the show, but I still want to start the morning off with the Lord, spending time in His Word, and I had just finished Psalms the previous day, so I was kind of excited to jump into Proverbs, and I open up Proverbs 1. And I'm not giving a sermon on that right now, but it's worth looking at. And I believe it's extremely appropriate. I'm so glad that I read it this morning, because here what we have, and we're going to get into this in a situation, is a situation with the youth of today who think that they are smarter, who think that they are wiser, who think that adults know nothing and they know everything, that we need to completely tear down all of our history, including the history that has brought incredible progress to our country. Do you know why? I'm just going to be straight up here. Do you know why Black Lives Matter is not about racism? It's really not about that at all. Racism is merely a tool that Black Lives Matter uses to accomplish its political objectives. When you look on the history of race in this country, it should be very obvious to all that we have made incredible progress. You're a progressive? Okay. Well, let's look at the progress that we have made as a country. Ending slavery, that's a good first step. Ending Jim Crow laws, that's necessary. The Civil Rights Act, banning discrimination everywhere. And essentially, as a society, becoming a much more accepting and open society, regardless of your skin color, regardless of your religion, your beliefs. Like, as a society, we have become incredibly tolerant in that regard. Blacks have been some of the most successful amongst us, as well as those of other skin colors as well. So if it's all about race, you should look back. And just recently, prison reform that was even championed by the likes of Van Jones as being good for blacks, with a Republican president and a Republican Senate. So if this was all about race, right? If this was just all about racial equity, well, then Black Lives Matter should be pretty happy to work within this system to continue to change it. Even the Republicans tried passing police reform. Republicans passing national police reform. Or attempting to, at least. So there's no reason, there's absolutely no reason why, as a result of race, America needs to be changed. We've even changed our constitution, our national constitution, to protect race, to protect blacks from slavery. So there's nothing within our current system that does not allow us to change our nation in a positive way in regard to race. Yet for some reason, our system is not good enough for them. There have been some very important articles and writing on this issue, and we're weaving world news into all of this. It's very difficult, as I've said before. When I started this podcast, when I started Mideast News Brief, I had to spend so much more time here in America than I wanted to because of all of the Middle East related stuff and the anti-Semitism in Congress that really was just terrible. Well, I've switched over to World News Brief kind of at the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic, and so much has happened as a result. And by the way, let me just say something about all of that. When the pandemic first started, I knew that this was just the beginning. And I think a lot of us knew that. A lot of us realized that this was going to be just the beginning. it's an election year. Donald Trump makes the left just absolutely insane. I mean, he makes them just go out of their mind. I remember listening to an author who wrote a book about this, about a political topic. I forget the subject of it. He was talking about it, saying that he interviewed people for this book on like the left and the right. And he said the people on the left that he talked to that said the election of Donald Trump was the worst thing that ever happened to them in their lives. So when you're dealing with people like that, I mean, this is just, he makes them absolutely crazy. And so they are going to do the most crazy, most insane things in order to get him to not be elected. And I just knew, and I think a lot of us probably knew, that when this virus hit, this was just the beginning. I knew, and I said out loud, this is just the beginning. More is coming. And then we saw the George Floyd tragedy. And we saw the protests. And then we saw the rioting and the looting and the murdering of mostly blacks, of mostly black and minority-owned businesses. Democrat cities up in flames. Up in flames. And again, I knew that that was just the beginning. And then it's, here comes the coronavirus again. And with a alleged spike now, which, I mean, you could argue is because we are actually testing more people, and the more you test, we already know that tens of millions of Americans have coronavirus. So if you test more and you get more cases, then of course you're going to have a spike. But that's neither here nor there. So here's a second wave of the coronavirus. Right? Oh, I'm sorry. There was Chaz before that, second wave of the coronavirus, and then the pulling down of statues all over. It's just, and there's going to be something after that. There's going to be something after all the statues, and then there's going to be something else, and then there's going to be something else until at least through the election. When Donald Trump wins, there's going to be rioting and mayhem and so forth. Even if he were to lose, which I don't believe he will, I think there will still be rioting, and it's really kind of, it's not going to matter either way. But I saw this piece in the Federalist, and I was so grateful, because the author of this piece, Christopher Bedford, gives a history lesson that we all need to learn from. And this is from the Federalist, June 23rd. Everywhere statues are torn down by the mob, history promises people are next. In 1790, mobs looted and pillaged Paris's treasured Notre Dame. Remember when that went up in flames not too long ago? To the revolutionaries, the cathedral symbolized everything that was wrong with France's history and society, the history of kings, tradition, and religion, and a society beset by royal injustice and systemic inequality. Over the next 3 years, and let me just say this, I think those of us who love freedom, who love liberty, we also don't like inequality. We also don't want inequality. We don't want people to be treated differently based on the color of their skin or religion or anything of that nature. We don't want people treated differently. But what we understand is that while the government can enforce liberty, they can enforce freedom, they can't force equality. Now, they can make sure that their laws do not promote inequality, right? They can make sure that laws such as Jim Crow laws are banished, and there is not racism within the system, part of the system, part of the law, right? We can do that, but we can't guarantee, the government cannot and will not and have not ever been able to guarantee that there is equal income amongst everybody. Because even if you have a totalitarian regime that attempts to do that, Even if you're able to do this, let's say you're able to make everyone in the populace have exactly the same amount of money, right? let's say everyone in the pop, well, you're still going to have the Politburo, which if you're not familiar with that term, that's the ruling committee of the Communist Party. You're going to have the Politburo in charge. You're going to have the executive of the Politburo wealthy. And you're going to have the Politburo wealthy. You're going to have the government itself will be wealthy, even if everybody else is poor and of equal income, which that's what happens in true communist and socialist societies, is that you have the top wealthy, and you have everybody else equal, perhaps equally poor, even though, I mean, there's no way. They talk about income inequality. It's amazing to have rich Democrats like Jeff Bezos going around talking about income inequality. Are you kidding me? I mean, if you believed in income, if you believe income inequality was a problem, why don't you start with your own company? You make just as much money as the guy on the floor of your gargantuan Amazon warehouses who is packing boxes. Don't hold your breath waiting for that to happen. So while those on the right hate inequality and injustice, we also understand that the government, it is impossible for the government to guarantee. And when I say I hate inequality, I mean people being treated differently. I don't hate the fact that there are people, some people who make more money than other people. I don't hate that, nor should you, nor does I believe from the scriptures God. Like, this is it's absolute insanity. It's class warfare. It's pitting groups against each other, and it's not okay. But we understand the government can protect liberty and freedom. It absolutely cannot guarantee that everybody is going to be absolutely equal in every way in society, which I don't think the left even actually believes in anyway, because I think even the push for equality for all people is actually a path to their power as well. It's not about equality. I hope you guys understand and have seen that this is all about power. This is all about power. This is a power grab. Black Lives Matter, if you haven't done it yet, look at what they believe. Go to their website, look at what they believe. This is not about, I mean, when they're talking about abolishing the nuclear family and transgenderism, and I mean, this is not about racial equality. Hawk Newsom, the head of Black Lives Matter in New York City, as we'll see in a second, is no Martin Luther King Jr. I'm wondering when they're going to be tearing down statues of Martin Luther King Jr. When they're wanting to tear down statues of Ulysses S. Grant and Abraham Lincoln and the Emancipation Statue, which was paid for by freed black slaves and dedicated by Frederick Douglass? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay, we were in the 1790s in France, weren't we? Over the next 3 years, from 1790s, the 12th century church's riches and artifacts were stripped, stolen, and destroyed. Their remnants hidden by the faithful and sold off by the faithless. Statues of the Virgin Mary were removed, and statues to the Goddess of Liberty took their place on desecrated altars. At nearby Saint Chapelle, the Revolution pulled the apostles from the pedestals where they had stood watch over Christ's crown of thorns. The 12 statues were vandalized and buried, half so badly they are still undergoing attempts at restoration. As the destruction of religious art unfurled, priests who did not swear allegiance to the new order and those who aided them were sentenced to death. Did you get that? As the destruction of religious art unfurled, priests who did not swear allegiance to the new order and those who aided them were sentenced to death. Keep that in mind. Back at the cathedral, the revolutionary government mistook the 28 statues of the kings of ancient Judah for French kings, you know, rich old men and all, dragging them into the public square for decapitation. Sound familiar? The buried heads were not rediscovered for nearly 200 years. And the Place de Louis XV, forgive me if I said that wrong, The large statue of the square's namesake was torn down and the plaza renamed Place de la Revolution. A guillotine. Huh? A guillotine was raised and the, quote, liberated space would see the execution of more than 1,200 prisoners. From King Louis XVI and his wife to the execution's ringleader himself, Maximilian Robespierre. 1,700 years before... Okay, I'm not going to get into that. So, does any of this sound familiar from anything you guys have been seeing in the news? I mean, how insane. They mistook statues of the kings of ancient Judah for French kings. It reminds me of when they defaced the World War II. I believe it was the World War II monument to the 52nd Regiment. And it turns out that the monument they defaced was an all-black regiment, honoring an all-black regiment. I mean, does it? I mean, these people are clueless. Are toppling statues to Ulysses S. Grant, the general responsible for destroying the slave-owning, slave-promoting Confederacy? Or wanting to take down, as I said before, the Emancipation statue of Lincoln with the Emancipation Proclamation, and a freeing a slave paid for by freed black slaves and dedicated by the great, great abolitionist Frederick Douglass himself? These people are fools, right? Why? It brings me back to what I was reading in Proverbs 1 about wisdom, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge, and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. I encourage you to read the entire article. All of these articles that I'm quoting from will be at cgmradio.com/world. You can subscribe there. They'll also be in the show notes of this podcast. I highly, highly, highly recommend you reading it. So that's the historical backdrop. And we're going to get into a little bit more French Revolution history because it's so applicable to what's going on today in a very literal sense. In a very, remember? Do you guys remember? I kind of remember. Maybe you don't. You probably do, though. You probably remember when all the media talked about was how peaceful protests everywhere. They're so full of peace. They're so full of love. They're so full of just wanting to repair and to cure and to heal racial inequities. They're not out to hurt anybody. This is peaceful. This is so peaceful. The name of this show today, the title of today's show, is America on the Chopping Block. If you're not aware, you probably are. Chaz, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, which again sounded like something out of a Hunger Games novel, Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone has been renamed. No. No more Chaz. Chop. Capitol Hill Occupied Protest. Okay, fine, whatever. But it's a chop, huh? Really? That's sounds a little weird. Okay, chop. Fine. I'm not gonna judge just based off of that you have violent intentions. Even though it kind of could be violent, you know, maybe it's kind of like an air karate chop, you know, just kind of a tomahawk chop at a football game. Or maybe not. Maybe it's something a bit more sinister. I've talked about stream.org before. I highly recommend it. There's an incredibly, incredibly important piece that also ties in with the French Revolution. It's called, the name of it, published June 24th by Al Perota, CHOP, as in Madame Guillotine. We're watching the reboot of the French Revolution. What do you call would-be revolutionaries chopping the heads of statues of Christopher Columbus and other historical figures? Practice. By the way, I tweeted this out a few days ago people have been kind of perfectly summing up. Is it not just the ultimate irony? What do they hate so much about Christopher Columbus? He was supposedly a colonizer. Colonizer. He was. He did colonize. But what? They hate him. Hate him because he's what? He's a colonizer. So I retweeted this out from Save the West at Save for West on Twitter. So just to be clear, these people colonized land, kicked out the natives, created a police force that utilizes chokeholds, created a border with armed guards to decide who comes in, fully deports those who break their rules. May I add to that, obviously they have no problem with guns. It's just the ultimate irony that they hate Christopher Columbus so much because of him being a colonizer. And when the hard left takes over an area, what do? Everything that they blame the right for and everything that Trump supposedly does. Okay, back to the article. What do you call would-be revolutionaries chopping heads off of statues of Christopher Columbus and other historical figures? Practice. I wrote that a couple weeks back as a bit of dark humor. Little did I know that in less than a week, the anarchists and militants CNN loves calling peaceful would be threatening French Revolution-style beheadings. Even their new name screams guillotine. By the way, do you know of any other radical group whose preferred method is beheading? We'll get to that in a second. In case you missed it, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone in Seattle, or CHAZ, changed its name. It now goes by Capitol Hill Occupied Protest, or, wait for it, CHOP. The mayor talks, quote, summer of love, while these foaming radicals dream of the, quote, reign of terror. Now, after a series of rapes and shootings in CHOP, Mayor Jenny Durkin is finally going to dismantle the occupied territory, she says. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Last week, leftists from CHAZ, CHOP, migrated over to Seattle Police Department's West District. According to Seattle Times, a speaker said, it is not CHAZ, it is CHOP, then gave the gathered hordes a history quiz. So let me play this history lesson. I don't know about you, I didn't quite get this kind of history lesson in school, even in public school, I did not. So I hope this isn't going on in any public school, but I would not be surprised if it was in due course, given the way things are going. But yeah, check out this lovely history lesson on the French Revolution.
It is not chess, it is chop.
Chop!
Has anybody here ever heard of the French Revolution before?
Yeah.
That is another revolution because people started putting property over lives. They started putting money over people. Does anybody here know what happened to the people who did not get on board with the French Revolution? Say it louder.
Chop.
Say it louder.
Chop. Chop. Chop.
It's the message we need to send. We are serious. This is not a joke.
No, not a joke.
I am tired of seeing my people be genocided by every definition of the word.
Well, then why did you wait till now? Your people have been being genocided by the Democrat Party since the 70s. 16 million plus black children brutally murdered by abortion. The black population is significantly less than it would have than it would be right now because of abortion. Your people are being genocided. You wait till George Floyd? When you've got 10, 20 people, black people in Chicago alone, every weekend being murdered, dead in the streets, most of them being killed by other black people, and now you're upset? This is unbelievable. There has been death and carnage in the black community for decades. And now we care. Why do we care? We care now because we can exploit it politically to advance our Marxist revolution. That's what it's all about. See my report from a couple weeks ago, Do All Black Lives Matter? Episode 9 of World News Brief. It's if you don't listen to it, read the show notes. I've got the transcript and the show notes filled with research and article research and links to articles and links to research facts that you will not want to miss. But wow. He didn't just say government officials. He did not just say government officials who do not get on board with the revolution. He said anybody. I mean, this was anybody who did not get on board. Who do not get on board. Get chopped. And he was referencing the French Revolution, which, of course, they strolled out the guillotine, beheading 1,200-something people, including the king of France. You don't think these people, if they could, they would set up a guillotine and chop Donald Trump's head off? If you think for a second they wouldn't, I would humbly submit that you may be wrong. Listen to their own words. Listen to Hawk Newsom of Black Lives Matter, New York. This is unbelievably dangerous. Unbelievably. And I'm going to get to Hawk Newsom in just a second. But let's talk a few more paragraphs about the French Revolution before we get there. As Mike Gonzalez at the Daily Signal noted, quote, many conservatives and even non-conservatives, such as law professor Jonathan Turley, are coming around to the view that this is a moment not unlike those we saw in the French Terror of 1793 to 94, or the Maoist Cultural Revolution of 1966 to 76. Turley writes, quote, the atmosphere is strikingly similar for those familiar with history and specifically the course of the French Revolution. Welcome to the French Revolution 2.0. What are today's snowflake Jacobins getting to? During France's Reign of Terror, some 300,000 French, or roughly 1 in 50 French men and women, were arrested in a mere 10-month period. At least 40,000 were killed. This does not include the countless others killed by vigilantes, quote, and other self-proclaimed representatives of the Republic. Over 2,600 in Paris suffered the guillotine. You know, if you're in 1790, let's say you were in France in 1792, and you're, you know, I do see something that is wrong. I do think that it seems as the young people could go into murder and terror very, very soon. Forget my terrible French. Attempt at impersonation there. But what if you're in 1792 and you're a Frenchman and you were to predict this? What would they tell you? They would tell you you're nuts. The term conspiracy theory hadn't been invented yet, but if it had, that's what they would have told you that you were. We are at a precipice in our history, in the history of this nation, and in some respects, a history of the world, where we have a choice to make. We have a choice to make not whether or not Black Lives Matter, of course, Black Lives Matter. I did an almost two-hour show on it 2 weeks ago talking about it, how black lives do matter, but not just some. Not just the black lives we can exploit politically, but all black lives. The black lives that the media completely ignores. The black men that are killed in Chicago. The black unborn children that are ruthlessly slaughtered to some 1 to 2,000 a day. 1 to 2,000 a day. Black unborn children slaughtered by abortion. Oh yeah, Black Lives Matter. All of them matter. So that's not the issue. The issue is, what are we going to do as an American society? Are we going to go the way of the guillotine and anarchy and vigilante, quote, justice, and allowing insurrectionists to literally take over parts of the United States and even say that when you come in here, you are leaving the United States, complete with warlord and armed security and border protection and ID checking and deportation? Are we going to allow that, or are we going to return to the rule of law and to equal justice under the law? And not only that, protecting our historical monuments, protecting American society, which is, I'm sorry, there's a reason why millions and millions and millions and millions and more millions of people want to immigrate to the U.S. If we sucked so bad and were so racially unequal that, that Ilhan Omar, she's so oppressed, she's a Somali refugee who's literally a member of Congress. She's so oppressed, and she can't go anywhere without armed security because we're just so racist. We're just such a racist nation, even though there's video of her going places without armed security. It's total bogus. She is a liar of liars. If America was so terrible and we're so racially unequal, then why do we have all kinds of people from all over the world, regardless of skin color, wanting to come here? It's a complete and total and utter contradiction. And not only that, why does the left want open borders? If America is such an awful place, why are they begging for immigrants to come here? If coming here is bad for immigrants, if coming here is bad for people of color, then why is the left begging them to come here, giving them incentives to come here, calling Trump a racist for not wanting? They should be on Trump's side for wanting to protect the border, because America is so terrible, we should want to keep people out. Yet that's not the case, is it? And again, one more reason why this is not about race. This is about politics. Not only is it not ultimately about race, this is about changing America. What did Barack Obama say when he came to power? He said he wanted to fundamentally transform. We're days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America. When you start talking about fundamentally, right, you're talking about the foundation. You're talking about the whole structure of the United States of America. This is merely the result of a revolution that the man who was mentored by a card-carrying communist himself, that the man, Barack Obama, began in 2009. This is a revolution. Obama was uniquely situated to bring racial harmony to the United States. Eloquent, well-spoken, well-liked, intelligent, literally half black, half white. If there was ever a man in American history who could be one to bring racial peace and harmony, it was Barack Obama. And yet, what was his legacy? What did he leave us with? Class warfare, division, hatred, rage, cities on fire, police stations on fire, black people being killed in inner cities. That's what black businesses being destroyed. That's what he left us with. This, what we see, this whole George Floyd thing is a result. It's merely the result of a fire that began in 2009. Small spark. Platitudes, hope, change. Yes, we Bob the Builder. Yes, we can. I mean, did he literally get that from... Anybody else wonder if he was watching Bob the Builder with his daughters and was like, oh, yes, we can. Yeah. Well, I'll just make that the chant. I think he took it from... I don't know. But yes, we can. What is that? What? Yes, we can what? Well, I think what we're seeing today, what yes, we can is. Yes, we can. Destroy America. Speaking of destroy America, I want you to listen to Hawk Newsom. I want you to tell me what Hawk Newsom or what Martin Luther King Jr. would have to say to Hawk Newsom, head of Black Lives Matter New York. He was on Martha McCollum. Check this out.
Burn it down. You said burn it down. It's time. So that makes me think that you want to burn
time.
It down.
I said if this country doesn't give us what we want, then we will burn down this system and replace it. All right. And I could be speaking figuratively.
Okay.
I could be speaking literally. It's a matter of interpretation. Like,
burn it down.
I mean, I could be speaking figuratively. I could be speaking literally. I mean, it's a matter. It's a matter of interpretation. That's not what we needed to hear, Hawk Newsom. What we needed to hear is you to come out and say, I condemn the violence. I condemn the looting. I condemn the rioting. Not, it could be literal. It could be figurative. You know, it's interpretation. What, I mean, I guess, do we need a Talmud? Do we need a... like an exterior body that can write the interpretations of what the words out of your mouth as BLM scripture, what that means? Do we need a BLM Talmud? I mean, if this country doesn't give us what we want, then we will burn down this system and replace it. I could be speaking. Literally, I could be speaking. Figuratively, it's just a matter of interpretation. This is from David Harris Jr., quoting DavidHarrisJr.com, senior legal advisor to Trump's team, Jenna Ellis, said, quote, newsflash, the United States doesn't negotiate with violent terrorists. Yeah. Yeah. So what did Trump? What did President Trump have to say about this? This is also from DavidHarrisJr.com. Again, all these articles will be in the show notes of this podcast. You can also get it at cgmradio.com/world. Here's what Trump had to say on Twitter. Black Lives Matter leader states, quote, if U.S. doesn't give us what we want, then we will burn down this system and replace it. This is treason, sedition, insurrection. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's about time. It's about time that these thugs, and you know that thug is not a racial term. Do you know that? If someone calls people thugs, and people on the left accuse people on the right of being racist for saying thugs, what does that... That tells you more about the person on the left than it does about the person on the right. Because people on the right, they see the vandalism, they see the looting, they see the police stations on fire. They see minority businesses on fire. They see cop cars and ambulances on fire. They see black people being murdered for trying to protect businesses against the riots. And they call those people thugs, right? But as soon as you say thug, people on the left think black person. Do they not? Why? Well, we know that's what they do. We know that's what they think, because then immediately they turn around and call people on the right racist for saying that they're for saying the word thug. Well, the reason why they're calling us racist is because that's what immediately pops in their mind. They hear thug, they think black person. So when we say thug, they accuse us of being racist. But here's something you got to understand. The vandalism and everything that's going on and the violence going on today is done by it's multicolored. It's the spectrum, baby. It's everybody. White, black, you name it. Is there any skin color that's not doing that? It's not about, see, with us, with people on the right, it's not about skin color, right? What did Martin Luther King Jr. say? I have a dream that one day my four little children will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. So we're judging based on the content of these people's character, and we are accurately naming them thugs, calling them thugs. But the left hears that, thug, black person, you're racist. No, I'm sorry. If the first thing that comes to your mind when the word thug is mentioned is black person, then maybe you are the racist. And of course, there's many of us that already understand that the left is racist. The left is obsessed with race. Why are they obsessed with it? Because, as we've seen, it is a means to a political end. So Donald Trump speaks up. This is treason, sedition, insurrection. Well, we'll see what happens with that. He also said, this was worth mentioning, if you might not, you may or may not be familiar with this, but apparently there are those who want to, including de Blasio, Bill de Blasio of New York, who wants to paint a Black Lives Matter sign that says pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon, referring to police, basically across the street from Trump Tower in New York City. Trump said, I'm told that New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio wants to paint the fabled and beautiful Fifth Avenue right in front of Trump Tower, Tiffany, with a big yellow Black Lives Matter sign, quote, pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon, referring to killing police is their chant. New York City police are furious. In recent days, protesters attempted to turn the area into a Black House autonomous zone and topple the statue of President Andrew Jackson in nearby Lafayette Square. The president responded by stating his intent to sign an executive order by week's end that would criminalize the act of vandalizing any federal monuments, statues, or properties. Trump also activated 400 National Guard troops in the D.C. area to assist National Park police in protecting federal monuments and properties. The troops will be unarmed and will remain on active duty through July 8th. And you know what? I'm actually going to go and check real quick to see if that executive order has been signed. Give me just a second. Yeah, I went over to BonginoReport.com, and I'm not seeing that as of now. Hopefully, that will get out there before the end of the day. But it looks like the president is pushing back, and he is going to protect our historic monuments. The Emancipation Proclamation did not come down. The Emancipation Statue did not come down last night, as was promised by the thugs who were wanting that to happen. And again, why? Why would they want to tear down? Why would they want to tear down a statue of slaves being freed? Well, ostensibly, it's because it's a racist depiction. It's for one, It's a depiction of a slave being freed. So you can call that racist, but I call that progress. Wouldn't you call it progress? But we all know the reason why. In a cultural revolution, if you need to erase the history, that was in the book 1984. That was a part of the communist regime's takeover is to erase and to rewrite history. That book was written in what, the 40s? And it's very apropos to today. I actually haven't read it, and I plan on reading it very soon. I think I'm going to learn a lot from it. But erasing our history is a part of a cultural revolution. So, again, I've talked about this in the past. It's so easy for conservatives to get worked up. Oh, this doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. Why would they do this and this? They say they're pro-black, but they want to take down a statue of Abraham Lincoln and Ulysses S. Grant. And they want to, it's very easy to get upset about all that. But understand, what they're doing actually makes perfect sense. If you don't go by what they say, what the media is saying. Who was it that said if you listen to an evil person long enough, they'll eventually tell you what they plan on doing? It's really true. I mean, it's amazing. If you listen to an evil person long enough, they'll eventually tell you what they plan on doing. We saw that a few minutes ago in CHOP, the newest country on earth, right? In CHOP, we saw that. So you just wait. They'll tell you. They can't help themselves. The demons inside of them can't help but speak and proclaim their evil. Now, I'm being very literal when I say the demons. I hope y'all understand. When I talk about demons on this show, I'm being oh so, so literal. That when the demons inside these people, they have a plan, they can't help but speak it through their hosts. It's sad but true, which is why we need to be praying for this nation and acting in whatever way the Holy Spirit leads us to act, including praying for those people specifically. It's very easy to get upset, and I understand there's nothing wrong with being upset, but part of our action always needs to also be prayer for these people and prayer for change. I wanted to mention something real quick from Candace Owens that she tweeted out this the Center for Multicultural Student Services organization statement from James Madison University. It'll be linked to in the show notes as well. I encourage you to read it. I read it. And this is what she said about it. Black Lives Matter is a Marxist movement disguised as racial unrest. These thugs are delivering ultimatums to businesses and schools. Do as we say or burn. These, quote, demands were posted by Marxists at James Madison University. We fight now or lose America to violent communism. I encourage you to go and look at those requests, including, make every space on campus a safe space for black students and students of color by expanding the responsibility of diverse programming. Okay, what is are there unsafe spaces for black children black students at James Madison University? Okay. Make diversity education such as developing multicultural competency for effective facilitation a requirement for all students. And there's more. Look, this is just, they are wanting to use this as an opportunity for just flat out indoctrination. Flat out indoctrination. This is a cultural movement. It's a political revolution, and that's really ultimately what we need to see it as. So let's take a trip over to Germany right now, shall we? And let's talk about, so here in America, what are we seeing? We're seeing statues of even truly great American issues be toppled or attempt to be toppled. Well, what's going on over in Germany? What old white men are being extolled across the pond? As statues around the world, this is from westernjournal.com, Jared Harris, as statues around the world are falling to rioters, the left is proving that they cannot only tear our heroes down, but raise up their own as well. Okay, who is this hero? Hey, look, in an enlightened 21st century leftist Germany, I'm sure they're just going to extol and elevate and enshrine great champions of human rights and the value of individuals and multiculturalism and diversity, right? The quote, hero socialists have chosen to memorialize is none other than Vladimir Lenin, the first premier of the Soviet Union. Huh, Lenin. Yeah, we should, you know, that old Lenin, he would, look, I think he kind of gets a bad rap. He was just, you see, Lenin was just misunderstood. He was just misunderstood. A statue of Lenin cast in Czechoslovakia in 1957, according to Deutsche Welle, was unveiled Saturday in the German city of Gelsenkirchen. The monument was not raised without a lengthy legal battle, however. The district council in Gelsenkirchen West moved to block Marxist-Leninist Party of Germany from raising the statue, labeling it an anti-democratic symbol inconsistent with the city's views. Eventually, a state court ruled against the council's restrictions. Within months, the MLPD finished construction of the monument. Blood-red socialist banners waved as the statue was unveiled. A roar of approval swept the crowds as onlookers cheered and whistled. Video of the ceremony reveals, and you'll be able to see that in the article. According to the MLPD, the statue honoring Lenin is the first of its kind in Western Germany. That's the irony, that this would show up in Western Germany, that when the Berlin Wall was up, separating Western Germany from Eastern Germany, you could literally look on the communist side, Eastern Germany, and see misery and despair. And you look on the Western side, Free Germany, and see bustling, thriving life. And yet these fools, these absolute fools, who think they're smarter than their parents, who think, I mean, it's so, the whole thing is so childish. That when you do not listen and are willing to listen to the wisdom of your elders, you run into big, big problems. It's unclear how the party would have fared had they tried to build the monument in a location that was once behind the Iron Curtain. The unveiling celebration comes as statues across the Western world are falling to leftist rioters. I wonder if we're going to see, I don't know, I just wonder, are we going to see any condemnation from this? I mean, this is world news. Our leaders should know about it. Are we going to see any condemnation of the raising of a statue of Vladimir Lenin, an autocrat, mass murderer? Do not hold your breath. So we did a lot over here in America. We kind of hopped over to France, hopped over to Germany. But again, there's so much news that it's very difficult to not. It's just very difficult to not camp out there. We're witnessing the attempt at a cultural revolution. I do not believe they will be successful. I do believe that God's plans for this nation are very different than what the leftist mob is wanting. But remember this. Just because God's plan for a nation is one thing doesn't mean there's not a fight to get to that one thing. Take for example, the nation of Israel itself. Even in the days of Joshua, just like it was God's plan for the descendants of Jacob to take over and drive out the inhabitants of the land of Canaan, which, how could God command that? And that's a whole other subject and issue. I actually recommend Bob Siegel's book, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But, and you can listen to his show, cgmradio.com/Bob, to get links to those books. There are very good answers to all of that. One of which is that these were people that were sacrificing, literally sacrificing their own children to the gods of Canaan, such as Molech. So, and God has every prerogative to judge people in whatever way he wants. So, while I'm not advocating for anything like that today, if that was something that God commanded several thousand years ago, he as creator, it is actually his prerogative to do so. But just because the nation of Israel was promised the land of Canaan, doesn't mean there wasn't a fight, and actually a long fight to get there. I remember the scripture that says, talking about Joshua, he captured all their kings and put them to death. Joshua waged war a long time with all these kings, with all their kings. So sometimes war takes a long time to be waged to come into something that God has promised. Or take, for example, the prophet Samuel anointed King David when David was a teenager, anointed him as king as a teenager. When did he become king? 30. He had to wait, 13, 14 years, something like that, before he could actually claim the throne that was legitimately his. Like, the moment Samuel anointed King David, he was king. He was the legitimate king, and Saul, the illegitimate king. But he had to fight for it, and fight for it. Many times his own life, risking his life many, many times. Right? And so just because, let's say I'm correct, and I do believe this for a number of reasons. Let's say I'm correct that God's plan for America, at least in this generation, is not to descend into mob rule, leftist anarchy, and then eventually through the anarchy, which, remember, anarchy is the surest path to tyranny. Nature abhors a vacuum, and when there's a vacuum of leadership, a tyrant is going to rise up, like Raz, the rapper warlord in Chop. But let's say I'm right. That doesn't mean there's not a fight to get there. And as I've said many times, COVID was just the beginning. And then the protests, and then the rioting, looting, vandalism, and then Chaz, and then a second wave of coronavirus, and then the statues being torn down. There will be something after this. Maybe there already is. Maybe it's happening as I'm doing this podcast, recording this podcast. There will be something else. Prepare yourself mentally. Prepare yourself spiritually for the rest of 2020. Turn off the media when you need to. I'm not saying don't be informed. I'm not saying never watch any news or listen to shows like this. Sometimes we need a break. And sometimes we need a break for our own sanity, especially us as Christians. We need to be diving into the Word of God. We need to be in prayer. We need to be being led by the Holy Spirit. These are turbulent times, but we will get through this as a nation. We will get through this as a nation, and I believe even come out stronger and better. Why? Because we deserve it? No, because Americans are somehow inherently morally superior to other people? No. I believe God has a plan for this nation. I didn't used to believe that. I used to believe we were on our way to just communism and then eventually Islamism. But I believe God has corrected me on that. But that doesn't mean we don't need to pray. That doesn't mean we don't need to fight. That doesn't mean we don't need to stand up for what's right. We do. That doesn't mean we don't need to be in a healthy church body and serving and praying for revival for our nation. We do. But remember, Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against power, principalities, the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Read Ephesians 6:10 to 18 when you get a chance. This is a spiritual war. God is bringing his kingdom to this earth. And just like when the kingdom of when Israel advanced on Canaan, Canaan fought back. As God's kingdom advances and descends on this earth, the forces of darkness are going to fight back, and they are fighting back when they start talking guillotine language. Remember, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that you might have life. This is Jesus talking. But I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. All right, so what's going on in Iran, as promised at the beginning of the show? So much. I mean, so much is happening. But I saw this on the foreign desk. I'm just going to read a quick clip from it. I'm going to give you just one more reason to pray for Iran, to pray for regime change. Even though the regime is stopping this, they're still awful and needs to turn around. Authorities have arrested 3 men in Iran for allegedly attempting to sell newborn babies on the photo-sharing Instagram platform. According to reporting by the semi-official ISNA news agency, the men first bought 2 babies from their mothers for approximately $500 and then resold them for $2,500. The babies were 20 days old and 2 months old. A third baby has been identified but has yet to be located, ISNA reported. Over 10 pages of ads for the babies were found on Instagram using the hashtag buy and sell newborns. Individuals can access online posts regarding the infant selling ring. This is abominable. Absolutely abominable. One of the men arrested told the police in Tehran that they had bought the babies from, quote, poor families and were attempting to give them to other families that, quote, could provide a better future. Let's say that's true. Why? Why are there so many poor families in Iran? We know why. Because the Iranian regime is awful. And they take money, and after enriching themselves, they disperse it amongst their terror proxies all across the world. So even though the the regime in Tehran, they've arrested, they've made some arrests, that doesn't mean they're not complicit, or it doesn't mean they're not partly responsible, because it's their reign of, speaking of reign of terror, it's their reign of terror, being the number one state sponsor of terrorism in the world, and you're taking money, and instead of using it to help your own people, you're using it to finance terrorism, you're part of the reason why these people are so poor. I would dare say you are the reason, because of your awful, terrible, horrific, demonic Islamic government. The parents of these newborns have since been identified. Although locating and returning the infants was a challenge, unfortunately, selling babies is not that common in Iran. Many children are abandoned at birth due to high poverty or because the child was born out of wedlock. In addition, abortion is illegal, and the state rid the country of family planning programs years ago to prevent a declining population. Of course, I actually agree. This would be one area I agree that abortion should be illegal. But of course, the problem is when you have a nation that is impoverished, and then I guess you don't have a cheap abortion method, you're going to see more of this kind of stuff. But again, I'm against abortion, except in very extreme circumstances. And if the Iranian regime wasn't so unbelievably terrible, and their policies and practice didn't promote widespread poverty, their women would not feel a need to sell their babies on Instagram. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You can read the full story in the show notes. So I want to go over to Israel for just a moment. You know, I hear this all the time. Occupied territory. We talked about it last week in my interview with Bob Siegel. Occupied territory. That Israel is occupying Palestinian, sovereign Palestinian territory. And so there's been talk recently. What happened? All right, if you guys remember, not too long ago, Trump put out his peace plan. He had put the economic portion of it out last summer, but because there was delay, you know, unresolved Israeli election after unresolved Israeli election, he didn't release the political component of it yet. Well, the Palestinians rejected it before they even saw it. They rejected it, as we talked about on the show. They rejected it 100 years ago because it's never been about a two-state solution. It's been about the non-existence of a Jewish state. And that's what writers like Felicia Schwartz at the Wall Street Journal, either they don't understand, maybe they're not educated enough, or maybe she's woefully ignorant. I can't judge her motives, nor am I going to. Jesus said, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. I can't judge her motives. I don't know what information she has refused to consider. I don't know what information she's been exposed to. Maybe she's merely ignorant of the fact that the Palestinian Authority rejected this plan before they even saw it, which makes articles like this and supposedly kind of conservative papers such as the Wall Street Journal a touch troubling. I'm going to read parts of it, comment on it, and we've gone long as usual. I think I'm going to stop saying we've gone long. This is an hour to hour and a half show. That's just what it is. And look, it's a once a week show. I'm talking world news, an hour and a half, and you got the whole weekend, Friday and the whole weekend to listen to it. So, and you can listen to the first 10 minutes or listen to all hour and a half. It's entirely up to you guys. So since this is an hour and a half show, hey, we're making good time. We're making good time. All right. So Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has pledged to begin annexing parts of the occupied West Bank as early as July 1st. It's occupied. It should be at least, if you're going to say occupied West Bank, at least put occupied in quotes. Anyway, a controversial plan that aims to appeal to his political base and bolster his legacy as the country's longest serving leader. So I should probably give a little bit more context. The Trump plan basically created a, quote, Palestinian state that would be autonomous and they could have everything except for a military. They could have their own internal security forces, police, and that sort of thing, but the Israeli government would be the army that protects the country, which I think is more than reasonable. Why? Because the Palestinian Authority is a terrorist organization. And why we're giving them, you know, even any type of Palestinian state is beyond me. But at the same time, they've flat out rejected it. So they put out this plan and say, look, okay, the Palestinians, you can have this portion, you can have this part of the West Bank, you can have Gaza, we'll even do like an underground tunnel from the West Bank to Gaza, all of this, right? Wouldn't even enter into negotiations, okay? The PA is not even willing to enter into any kind of negotiations. I don't even think Mahmoud Abbas has even read it. There's no reason to think that he has. Okay, so as we go through this article, please keep that in mind. Please keep that in mind. But the Israeli annexation drive, based on the Trump administration's plan for peace, has divided the Israeli public and drawn fierce international criticism. Thanks. What a shocker. It faces pushback from the Palestinians, who claim the West Bank for a future independent state as part of a two-state solution to the decades-long conflict between the two sides. European and Arab nations support the two-state solution and oppose any unilateral annexation move by the Israelis. Well, maybe they do. Maybe the European and Arab nations do support a two-state solution. But do you know who doesn't? Ladies and gentlemen, do you know who doesn't support a two-state solution? Make a guess. Make a wild guess. Ding, 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 ding. You are correct. The Palestinians. don't support a two-state solution. Do you know how I know that? They've rejected it every single time they were offered it and instead chose war or uprising, terrorism, rockets, suicide bombers. They're not interested in a two-state solution. They've been offered everything they could possibly hope for. As late as 2008, Kerry was trying to do it. Under the Obama administration, they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it in 2000. They wouldn't do it in the 90s. And by the way, as was discussed last week in my interview with Bob Siegel, there is a two-state solution. If you go all the way back to the 20s, it's called Jordan, Israel and Jordan, which, if you remember, Israel, what was originally promised to the Jews by the League of Nations, was Israel and Jordan. So when I see people that are supposed to be like the smartest people in the country when you're writing for a paper such as the Wall Street Journal, you're supposed to be one of the smartest people in the country, just promoting Palestinian propaganda such as this, it is truly troubling and sad. Senior officials of the Trump administration are meeting this week to decide its position on the annexation. So Israel is basically saying, look, the Palestinians are not even willing to enter into any kinds of negotiations on Trump's peace plan. They have never been willing to accept a Palestinian state, even when they've been given everything they could be offered in the past. So here's what we're going to do. We're just going to start annexing the Israeli parts, the Israeli majority parts of the West Bank, what the Jews called Judea and Samaria. We're just going to annex those parts. Look, you're not willing to negotiate? Fine. We're going to annex those parts, the Jewish parts of the West Bank, so that we can protect our Jewish citizens and that they can be under the authority of Israel, something that they want anyway. They don't want to be under the authority of Mahmoud Abbas. They want to be under the authority of Israel. So we're just going to annex. Now, there's some Q&As here. There's some Q&As. Why does Israel want to annex parts of the occupied West Bank? Israel claims the West Bank is the ancestral land of the Jewish people. It is. It says the territory also is of strategic national defense importance. Mr. Netanyahu argues that annexation will secure the settlement, saying there can be no realistic Israeli-Palestinian peace accord in which they are evacuated. Supporters of the move say the Trump administration has offered a historic opportunity to permanently set Israel's borders and shift away from previous peace efforts that envisioned Israel would evacuate at least some settlements in the West Bank, home to about 500,000 Jewish Israelis, not including East Jerusalem. What is the West Bank? You can look at that Q&A. What does it mean? Let's get to this. What would change if Israel annex the occupied West Bank? And again, it's not occupied. Remember, land, and this is part of international law, which Jay Sekulow actually outlines brilliantly in his book, Jerusalem. I recommend that one as well. Land gained in a defensive war is your land. If you're being attacked and you take land that you won in a defensive war, it's yours, baby. It's yours. I mean, think about that. You get attacked by a country. You win the war, and then you just give it back to the country that attacked you so they could then just attack you again? Huh? And international law, I don't have the Latin phrase memorized, but basically says that very thing. So no, the West Bank is not occupied. It belongs to Israel. You could say it's disputed territory. Fine. Agree with that. It's definitely disputed. Occupied? No. So what would change? The settlements would come under Israeli civil rule. like Israelis who live on the other side of the Green Line, making it easier for Jewish Israelis living there to do things such as build homes and improve infrastructure. How terrible that would be. I thought we were open borders, by the way. Aren't we open borders? Security officials worry that the move could hasten the collapse of the Palestinian Authority. Oh, that would be terrible. The collapse of the Palestinian Authority would be terrible, which governs part of the West Bank. That would eventually force Israel to either administer the Palestinian areas or absorb them into Israel. Oh, that would be terrible, even though the Arabs know that the ones living under Israeli sovereignty, they're the lucky ones. Threatening its Jewish and democratic identity by changing the demographics so that Jewish Israelis may no longer be a majority. I don't think that's going to happen. Trust me, they're going to make sure that the Jews are still the majority. They can just simply set up autonomous areas, right? They can simply set up autonomous Palestinian areas and, you know, give them governance and so forth while maintaining sovereignty over the whole area. So again, they're not willing to enter into negotiations in the first place. So they're just going to do what they're going to do. And it looks like the Trump administration is going to support that. No big surprise. Trump has been a huge friend to Israel, perhaps the best friend Israel has ever had. And so I would be shocked if he didn't support the unilateral annexation of these Israeli parts of the West Bank. Now, you also have to think about it politically as well. Why would the left not want Israel to annex the Jewish parts of the West Bank? Well, when you annex those Jewish parts of the West Bank, what do you get? You get more Jews as Israeli citizens. And when you get more Jews as Israeli citizens, you have more Jews voting in Israeli elections. The Arab population is about 20% right now. The left wants the Arab population much, 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 much higher. Why? Because they're overwhelmingly not going to vote. They're going to vote on the left, not on the right. So they're going to be against this annexation, especially leftists in Israel are going to be against it because they know it's going to weaken their power. And of course, to be fair, those on the right are going to want it because they're going to bring in more supporters. So there's a whole political element to it, right? And we see the same kind of stuff here in the U.S. Why do we want all of this immigration, even though America is a racist and just terrible and horrible and xenophobic and it's Islamophobic and it's every other phobic? By the way, America is looking pretty white-a-phobic right now. It's pretty Christian-a-phobic right now. I mean, this can kind of go multiple ways. I mean, it's truly amazing the self-hatred of white leftists. They're like phobic against their own skin color. They're afraid of their own shadows. It's kind of what we as kids, you know, remember calling your friend scaredy cow? You're a scaredy cat. Or calling your brother and sister scaredy cat? I mean, they're literally, they're not scared of their own shadow. They're scared of their own skin color. It's truly remarkable. Hey, remember that song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, for the Bible Tells Me So? Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. That includes white people too. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing that when something such as a sign that says it's okay to be white triggers people and makes them foam at the mouth and convulse. Welcome to America 2020. It is absolutely amazing. You know, accept the way God made you. It's okay. It's okay. Your skin color is beautiful regardless of its color. It's all beautiful because it's creation of God. It's God's creation. That's why we matter, right? We matter because we're creations of God. Darwinism teaches essentially, and I wrote this on Twitter, that no lives matter because lives are only matter. in Darwinism. It's nihilism. It's absurdity. It's ultimate meaninglessness, right? We should never be ashamed of our skin color, should never be ashamed of what we look like. We are beautiful creatures made in God's very own image, which is why you are of eternal, eternal worth. Regardless of what your parents may have said, regardless of what others, friends, enemies may have said about you, regardless of what maybe you have said about yourself, you are infinitely and eternally valuable because you are made in God's image. And when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God's Son, He transforms you into a son of God, a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You get adopted into His family, reborn, renewed, and come into the full realization of that eternal worth. Right, these cultural Marxist movements, it's all about the collective. It's all about the collective. The individual is not valuable. The individual is only valuable in as much as it promotes and helps the ultimate agenda of the collective, which is, of course, governed typically by a few old white men. But you are valuable. You are valuable. Independent of all of that, you are valuable simply because you're a creation of God created in His image. I don't know. I felt like I should go into that. If you have any comments or questions about that, email me world@cgmradio.com. world@cgmradio.com. I'm more than happy to personally correspond with you about that. Many people, including myself, have dealt with just a number of issues in regards to how we view ourselves. And I can attest personally how powerful the gospel is to curing that and to redeeming us from that. All right, as promised, I want to end the show with this eerie, just eerie prediction. It wasn't even necessarily a prediction. It is an observation of a very smart man. Observation of a very smart man. I encourage you listening to the entire video, but I'm just going to play a short clip from it right now. This was a video from 2017. This was a question and answer session. He's talking about America. And here's what the great Jordan Peterson has to say.
Because we're at a point now where, under the wrong circumstances, if the wrong person does the wrong thing, that the consequences will be very grave. Now, we can't predict which action is going to precipitate that, and or even if that will happen. But it's chaotic enough so that it could happen. So, you know, so govern yourselves accordingly. Now, the problem is that there are people who would be happy if there was blood running in the street.
Wow.
They're the same sort of people that shoot up high schools or kill innocent, you know, elementary school kids just to show what they're made of and what they believe. And that's a big problem. But for the rest of us, like, hopefully calmer heads can prevail. And so it really is important not to win. It's like fighting with your wife. You don't win. You can't, because you have to live with her. You can't win. But maybe you can solve the problem and bring about peace. And so you got to practice doing that. Practice restraint. Now, and remember, too, that the people that you're talking about who are radical leftists, is most of the time they're not. Like, they're 95% like you. And if you pull them out of the mob, they're just like your neighbor's 19-year-old kid who's kind of clueless and rebellious, right? And who you might even like. You put them in the mob, it's a whole different thing. And so you got to remember that too.
Out of fear of social isolation.
Wow. I mean, he called it. He knew that we were essentially a campfire, a super dry bonfire, where the wood has been dried out for years, and it hasn't rained in a year. Everything's dry, and all it takes is the tiniest spark to set a great, great flame. That's where we're at. That's what happened. He didn't know what it was, but it was George Floyd. The unbelievable tragedy that if that stupid cop hadn't been such a bleepity bleep, bleepity bleepity bleep. By the way, love cops. But there's a small percentage of them, as I guess we've seen by this video that was surfaced of three cops saying racist, terrible things. There are a small percentage of them that are terrible, that are the bad guys. Derek Chauvin was one of them. I don't know that he was a racist. Maybe he was. We can't assume just because he was a white cop that I believe accidentally killed George Floyd. It was still wrong and horrible and demonic, but I don't know that it was intentional. It sure doesn't look like it was intentional. It just looked like he was just acting like a total piece of human excrement. But I don't know that it was racist. You can't assume because he was white and it happened to a black cop or to a black guy was killed by him that it was a racist act. Maybe, maybe not. I mean, how do you know unless he says so? I don't know that he says so. So that's what it was. It was the George Floyd incident, essentially, is what Jordan Peterson was warning against in 2017. So what was his admonition? We got to govern ourselves. We got to learn to live with each other. We got to seek peace. We got to seek harmony, not division, right? We need to come together for unity, not mutually assured destruction. And so my hope and my prayer for this nation, and again, I encourage all of us to pray for revival for the United States of America. Prayer is that we will get through this time, because we will. We will get through this time. And that we'll come out not just stronger and better and more stable, but we as a nation will set our sights on God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and turn to Him in repentance and faith. All right, well, that will do it for this week's edition of World News Brief. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Again, make sure to follow me online at World News CGM on Facebook and Twitter. Subscribe to the show, cgmradio.com/world, and make sure to check out cgmradio.com for all of the great CGM programming. And may His kingdom come and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is World News Brief by CGM Radio. I'm Winston R. Holland.